When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's a podcast that's hosted by me, Kyle Sconewill, and my longtime friend from work, Robbie Earl. Robbie, here in Nashville, we are having what they call a snowpocalypse, which is not the case if you're from Michigan, but here in Nashville, literally, we got some snow and everything has been shut down for the entire week. So I have Friends from Work merchandise in my trunk that I cannot ship because the post office has been closed Monday through Friday.
Wow. Legit.
So I still can't ship it. How are you doing
so,
in Austin?
So much for come rain and snow and sleet and all that I know. Stuff.
It all goes out the window if you get 1 inch of snow.
Man.
And I have a daycare. And they're like, my daughter has been to daycare one time this month because she was sick at the beginning of the month. And then they keep canceling for snow. And they'll be like, man, the weather's just not cooperating. I'm like, it's sunny and I'm driving to the studio every day. What is going on, people? Anyways, brutal, man. I'm getting
a
little
stir crazy.
Is
that a thing where you, like, is that a, like a you're paying by the month?
Yes,
you pay to the daycare?
Regardless.
Oh, that's brutal.
So her one day at this point is very expensive.
Man. Well.
It's always funny because all of our northern friends, they always kind of roll their eyes at this because, like, we've been talking with Pete. We see what it's like in Rhode Island. We see what it's like in Michigan. We see what it's like in Minnesota. So we have nothing on that. And then all of our southern friends are like, oh, no, I totally get it. Atlanta's 40 degrees. What are they going to do? It's funny because Nashville's really hilly and they're so unprepared for snow. We get snow so rarely, twice a year maybe, that they're so unprepared. So it's explainable. The roads are legit slippery at times because they just don't do anything. There's no salting. There's no, there's no plowing. But in Michigan, it'd be over in 2 hours. You'd be outside, you know? Anyways.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly the case here, but we weirdly, I mean, everyone's got such PTSD from what happened in Texas 2 years ago.
The power outages?
The power grid and all that stuff. So everyone was like so overprepared and then nothing happened. Like, I don't think we got hardly anything on the streets even.
Do people rush to buy bread and milk and stuff like they do
toilet
here.
Paper.
Toilet paper, okay.
Yeah, there were all these photos of just the toilet paper aisles just empty. Everyone's like, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I do know that I have needs regardless.
So this is
the one thing I'm covering.
I always laugh at the milk people because, like, I don't drink any milk all year round. And then all of a sudden, if there's going to be cold weather, everyone's got to buy milk.
It's true.
What are we doing with all the milk? You can drink water.
No.
So I think in so many ways, today actually feels like the kickoff of season 5 for this podcast and for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I said this on the first episode when we covered Echo 1 and 2.
Right.
That, you know, Echo from the get-go has kind of had a weird origin.
Wow.
I feel like they, when it first was announced, I think it was coming out of an era with Chapek probably and Disney Plus kind of recently launching, trying to get the most content possible out of there. Felt like it was a win in Hawkeye. So I think they had already made plans to do all this. They started shooting some of it. Then the entire slowdown happened. Disney fired Victoria Alonso. They rehired Bob Iger. There was all this shifting around and what their approach is going to be. And the very last thing that I think they were too far down the road to cancel was Echo. And so I think from day one, they were like, do we release this now? Was it a 6-part thing? Is it going to be a 5-part thing? Do we binge it? Do we release it all at once? Is this the show we try an experimental release strategy with?
Mm-hmm.
Literally, then you throw in the writer's strike and the actor's strike. This release date got pushed back. I think it was originally November. Now it's releasing in January. My point is, I truly believe that so much of the era of Phase 4 and 5 ends with today's episode. Because now we're going to look forward to this schedule. The rest of the year, you have an X-Men 97 show coming out, an animated show. You have one film, Deadpool, which is even in and of itself kind of a unique film to have as the only film in the MCU. And then we think one more show, Agatha, in the fall. And that's it. And so I think that any of the problems, concerns, blah, 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 I hope, I believe that we're going to make 2024 great again, like we said, and I believe, skate again, I believe that some of the concerns, some of these problems, that this is the end of a chapter.
Yeah. I do wonder if there will be a moment where we feel a real change, you know, like as we're looking back, and I don't even mean, that's not coming from a place where I'm like, oh, where is it? We need it. Like, we need to turn this thing around. That's more just, I think that this has been the conversation. We've talked about this in different ways. And even in our rewatch, we talked about how No Way Home, which is one of the most successful movies that Marvel Studios has ever been a part of, kind of has certain symptoms of this, like, post-Endgame mode. And so it's like, that's not even, you know, I don't think that even going to see that would have, or at least should have been the like, aha, see, like, now it's like we're changing or turning the page. So yeah, I wonder, like, maybe that will be Deadpool for people. But then at the same time, you're right, like, that's such a strange property to do that with. That I don't even know what, like, is that going to be kind of like a Guardians 3 situation, where I feel like Marvel almost didn't get credit for the success of Guardians 3.
I think that's very true.
Because it's like, well, that was James Gunn. You know, that's not Marvel.
Right. Right. People forget that film. Not only in the box office, the success there, right, when they talk about Marvel failing, but yeah. Totally. No one brings that up, I feel like, that's Marvel Studios.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good question. Will there be a actual moment? Like, will we be watching a show or something where, like, whoa, this is obviously different? Or,
well, and I guess in fairness, Loki was kind of that for me. I mean, we both loved Loki, but I remember coming on for the finale, and I still feel like the Loki, that Loki season 2 is one of the best things that Marvel's ever done. Made.
Yeah. Well, no, there were three. There's been 3 or 4 tier one projects since Endgame, in my opinion. WandaVision, yeah. Loki season 2, Spider-Man No Way Home, And I think I would, yeah, probably four if you include Guardians of the Galaxy 3 at the very bottom for me of that tier. So
right.
I'm not saying it's all broken, but all that stuff and COVID, I didn't include that in the drama
right, yeah.
and how that affected shooting and stuff. Okay, here's the thing. I want to get into all of that in just a minute, tied into the Echo finale. But first, I think let's talk about where this podcast is heading in the next few weeks or so, because I'm actually, like I said, Meg 2024 skate again. I'm super, super stoked on this new chapter. If this is the closing of the last era, I have a lot of hope for what can happen now going forward. And as always, we kind of have two branches of this, maybe three if you count screensaver, of where we're kind of headed. One, mm-hmm. on the main feed, Friends from Work, we're going to continue our rewatch journey, which is going to be really, really fun. And that's going to be continuing after the friendlies. So next week is officially going to be our Friendly Award nominee episode, where all of our patrons, our Friends from Work Plus supporters, can vote on the winners of last year's awards. It's always that funny thing. Is it the 2024 friendlies, I guess, covering 2023? That's how
right.
we do it? Okay.
Right.
And then the following week, we'll have the winners announced and a celebration of what we had in 2023. Then I think we're going to jump back into the rewatch for a little while. And the next thing on the docket is X-Men 97, which hopefully is going to release in April. Why do I bring that up? Because over on Friends from Work Plus, we are officially diving into a mega journey through the X-Men universe. Look at that.
I'm always here to do my mouth guitar noises. That's my biggest contribution to this podcast.
So Friends from Work, rewatching phase 4 and 5 stuff, talking about it, finding some stuff that maybe we missed the first time around, all the while hinting at X-Men coming with X-Men 97 and Deadpool. And then Deadpool 1 and 2 will be on the main feed before Deadpool, which I've never seen. And I think is probably the most anticipated episode of 2024 for our listeners.
Yeah.
Me probably not liking Deadpool and then being on here watching it. On the Friends from Work Plus side, Ravi and I have already watched X-Men 1 and X-Men 2 in preparation for what is going to be a massive Frodo-like journey through the X-Men series. And I just wanted to say this one time. I'm not letting you talk at all. Sorry.
No, I love it.
Before Spider-Man No Way Home came out, I was not a Garfield and Tobey Maguire lifelong truther. You know that. I had nothing against them, but I had not seen those movies that much and it didn't like shape my childhood. And mm-hmm. so I was like a year before No Way Home, I want this to be a Tom Holland story. I don't need them in it. I don't care about the other Sony properties, blah, 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 blah. Then you and I on Friends from Work Plus went back through all those old Spider-Man films. And you taught me some of the joys that those films brought, like in Spider-Man 2, some of the things they were doing really, really well. And I kind of fell in love with it to the point where by the time No Way Home rolled out, you know this because we watched it together in Austin, I was so stoked on Andrew and Toby being in the movie, I think more than you, that I was like, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I was like, I am a full disciple. I've gone a 180 on that. Here's the shocking thing so far that I want to share. I am maybe 3 times stronger than that anti-X-Men and kind of what it was and whatever. And now I've watched 2 X-Men movies and I'm a legit fan so far. Like so far I am loving it so much. And I am living proof that if you are not into X-Men, but you're into the MCU, maybe give this journey a shot because it may end up changing your mind so much that you'll be stoked when they show up in Deadpool and or the X-Men stuff coming in the next few years. Mm-hmm. So literally it has changed me to where I am now. I don't know what's going to happen in X3 and I cannot wait to watch it. So that's just a little teaser to be like, if you are like me and a little bit opposed to X-Men, give this journey a shot as we dive into X-Men world, and it might be rewarding.
Every few millennia, evolution leaps forward.
And that's me, you're saying?
That's you.
with this movie.
I think it's going to be, this is in some ways going to be an even better rewatch opportunity or watch opportunity, depending on whether you've seen all these movies or how recently you have. Because No Way Home, we knew for sure that villains from past Spider-Man movies were going to be there. You know, there were rumors that Toby and Andrew were going to be in the movie. We didn't really know how much. We didn't know if it would be cameos and we didn't really know, like, even maybe there's still debate over whether those were actually the characters from those movies or if they were supposed to be kind of similar characters or whatever. Here, I think it's pretty clear based on both the post-credit scene in the Marvels and what we've been told about Deadpool 3 and then, you know, some of the rumors that have kind of been circulating around Hugh Jackman's potential role in a Secret Wars film, whether that is true or not. But like, I think that there is definitely going to be a place for these Fox movie properties in the MCU in the next few years, kind of regardless of what happens with the MCU's original take on X-Men that will probably come following Secret Wars. So I think that unlike Spider-Man, where it was more just like, let's kind of immerse ourselves in the films that led up to this one, this, I think, is going to be a really fun chance to get ready for Deadpool on like two parallel paths. Because here, we're going to be going through the X-Men movies, like you said, on Friends of Warwick Plus, while also on the main feed, we're going to be finishing up our Phase 4 rewatch mm-hmm. that will culminate in the Phase 4 finale, which is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And then the two roads will join together with Deadpool 1 and 2, which we will be watching on the main feed, like you said. So I think it's going to be a really fun way to like get our collective minds right on sort of every side of this. Also, like you said, we'll be covering X-Men 97 some on the main feed once that's out. And that'll be another chance of talking more X-Men stuff. I think it's going to wind up, I mean, this is kind of what you and I have asked for, like some more time to dig into projects instead of them just like constantly coming out and going by. And I think that this is going to be a really great project for that. Sort of regardless of whatever Deadpool 3 winds up being, I think it's going to make for a really fun next 6 months as we ramp up for it.
And we know that's a lot. So if you're a little bit confused by all the information, be sure to check out our newsletter. Go to Substack, search Friends from Work, and you can find our newsletter there. I think you can also sign up on our website and we'll get you on the newsletter, the ffwpodcast.com. And that's where we'll be kind of once a week or so sending out a lot of this important information of where we're headed here on Friends from Work. All right. Echo episode 5, the series finale, after a quick word from these sponsors. Okay, you and I have not talked at all. This was very meh for me. I was let down. It was disappointing. I'm not even going to look at your face because I don't know. Don't affirm me one way or the other yet. But I was pretty let down by this. I don't have like super high expectations for the show like I was saying. But if the show was living for me in like a tier two show, this was enough for it to fall a tier, I think. I feel like there were a lot of missteps in the finale. Overall, it left me with a Secret Invasion finale feeling, which is mm-hmm. like, okay, it's not like anything is horrific. Nothing went horribly wrong, but I'm just kind of like, meh, that's going to now fall in the pile of shows that, you know, people probably won't rewatch much. And that's what then stirred that feeling in me of like, dang, man, like I do genuinely miss when it felt like culturally Marvel was on top to where I didn't have that feeling as often afterward. That's as far as I'm willing to go. That like a clip of Iron Man in Civil War popped up and it brought so much joy to my life. And you and I actually talked on the phone for an hour about it and our favorite Tony Stark and Steve Rogers moments. And there's a little bit of that I just miss. And obviously, it's dumb of me to expect much of that from Echo. I think there's an overarching thing that's different. The multiversal saga is different. I think sometimes you and I just miss the original Avengers and that era. But all that to say, I feel like this finale once again fell kind of victim to some of the same symptoms that they've had in phase four with these finales and these shows for me. And I'm excited for them to take a pause. And hopefully when we come back with Agatha, it's just a totally different deal. That now with like a new showrunner and like a head of TV side of it, and Kevin Feige now being able to be more involved again, and Bob Iger slowing it down. Hopefully all of that coalesces into just like a markedly different feeling show and finale the next time we come back. And so that's my word of hope for where this could go, while still acknowledging that I was pretty disappointed with this episode.
Yeah, man, this is about... So you bring up Secret Invasion, and here's the funny thing about that show. I have not rewatched that at all. If you remember, I had such a roller coaster ride with that series where I was excited for it. I was hoping it was going to kind of return to Winter Soldier stuff. I saw the like first scene that they leaked intentionally with Martin Freeman ahead of the actual screeners we got, and was super amped. I still think that first scene is awesome. And then I felt like in the first two episodes that we got ahead of time, everything was downhill from there. And then we got like halfway through and I was feeling better about it. And then by the time we got to the finale, I'd been so kind of all over the place that I remember you being meh about it and me being like, I was fine with it. And then
you liked it more than most people, to be fair.
Yeah. I've realized, like, I think it was just because, like, talking about expectations, by the time we got to that point, and maybe that is a difference in like a week by week thing, I don't know that I was expecting it to do anything beyond what it did. And I didn't feel like it did anything to undermine what the show had done prior to that, other than like all the roadie stuff that we talked about. I say all that here because like I know that now it's a big thing where everyone is like, let's just forget Secret Invasion happened. Again, I have not gone back to rewatch it. It's not like I'm like a Secret Invasion stan. I sometimes feel like
we like will eventually.
And it just feels like it's like a narrative that everyone has jumped on about like, this is the worst thing Marvel's ever done. And I don't know. I need to, I guess, rewatch it. But like, that's my frame of mind here. Mm. Here on Echo, I really did in the moment feel like beyond meh about this finale. Like this is like the biggest finale fumble that I remember on the Disney Plus side of things, where I just, everything that.
Okay, here we go.
You and
bring
I
it
praised.
In audience, bring it in audience. We have to have a serious talk here. This is about to get real. Here we go.
Everything we praised in 4 and 5, I'm so confused. Three and four. I'm so confused about, like, I mean, some of the things you and I called in terms of like the glowy hands and all that. And there were parts of that, like we said, whenever that skewed towards like, this is like a cultural memory thing. This is like a, hey, you're not alone. There's like a whole line of people in your family that have dealt with this. And like, there's a side of that I think works really well. And there are even scenes in this finale that are doing that I thought were really effective. Mm-hmm. I don't, The two biggest things for me, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts here. The two biggest things that went wrong are, one, their decision to like lean into the glowy hands healing power thing, but somehow it's also like strategy and something, like all of the like qualities that are wrapped into the glowy hands. That's like part of it for me, where I'm just like, why, if you're going to do this to this extent, like, I don't feel like the groundwork was laid. We thought this might be where it was going, and then I was kind of hoping that it wouldn't, because we got so far without really digging too much more into it. That's one thing. The second thing for me is why did Kingpin actually even need to be in this finale? What if
I want to zoom out further? I want to zoom out further and say, we're exactly the same. Those are my two biggest concerns. We can talk about Maya and the glowy hands and that side of it in a second. Let's start with Fisk, because I'm going to zoom out and say, I'm now concerned that Marvel Studios just doesn't know how to handle Fisk. You talked about undermining the very, like, him being in the finale and that happening. It, what they don't realize is you are undermining his two appearances now in the MCU. He was beat by Kate and Echo really easily. It took Daredevil 3 years to figure that out. And like, you just have to remove him from the head-to-head confrontation, especially if he's going to be in the MCU where there's superpowers. Like, Daredevil doesn't even technically have superpowers. If you're going to drop him in against Thor, he's not going to battle Thor. He would lose. So you cannot have him in a head-to-head match with somebody with superpowers. So the fact that he again lost, you're hurting the character. It's now a thing that I have to look back on and go, well, even if they redeem him, redeem him as far as make him stronger in Daredevil Born Again, you've already damaged it to where I would now have to like almost tell people to skip that part of it. And the weird thing is, talk about undermining, if you had just stopped it through four episodes, it would have been great. I wouldn't have had to do that. Like, I wrote down a note halfway through as they're kind of ramping up for the battle. I wrote, I am actually genuinely excited to see or curious to see what are they going to do with Fisk? And this is my note, because if he loses this battle that they're setting up, you're going to make him look really weak.
Right.
And yet I don't think, this is my note, that they have the cojones to have him win. Like, if he never made an appearance and disappeared to New York and his cronies actually got Maya out of there, that would have been a ballsy decision. And it would have elevated the future of what we think could happen to Maya and Daredevil and Fisk.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he leaves kind of like scared, to where I'm like, that's not the Fisk that we need in the MCU at a street level. So then that got me really fired up by what you first said, which is like, why even bring any of the glowy hands in? Why? Why couldn't Maya just be a badass fighter who channels an inner strength from her ancestors? Right. Sure, give me the flashbacks to give a shout out to the Native American culture, which is actually something I think the show has done really well.
Yeah.
Why not then just lean into that to actually have her, and we don't even know what her powers are, I guess, to like transport her powers to other people and then like allow her to kind of mind control, like Loki style illusion somebody through their past, like as a different version of themselves. I'm not saying it couldn't be cool. I don't even understand why lean into any of that. Like, you learned no lessons from Secret Invasion. Right. I thought there was a lot of cool stuff with the grounded nature of it. The finale of her actually getting all these powers of Captain Marvel and stuff, and then quick battling for 10 minutes or 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. That was the letdown, guys. Not the paranoia that was built up in the first two episodes. That's not the letdown. The letdown was the actual achievement of the superpowers. Like, I don't want every character to have this. It's just, I care. That's why I'm frustrated. Like, did you not learn some lesson? And that's my point to say, I think they now have learned their lesson. If this doesn't do it for them, then they don't know how to do television then. Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
I did not anticipate coming in here being this angry.
Well, I feel like this is more frustrating to me than Secret Invasion, because, like, in terms of the finale, because when you're doing Skrulls, and particularly when you're kind of dealing with the Super Skrulls thing, which they haven't done yet in the MCU, I feel like it's a given that you're going to deal with somebody getting the powers of certain superheroes, whether they did like the Harvest thing or whatever. So I think the execution there left a lot to be desired. I don't really mind the plot beat itself. Whereas here, I just don't understand. Like, I think that there's a world where they could have done this like if they wanted to really lean into her having a particular power set, and if they wanted that to be rooted in her as a Choctaw, I feel like they could have done something like what they did in like Wakanda Forever or Miss Marvel, where they root this power set, whether you make it a mutation thing or not, in the character's lineage and history and explain how they're connected, but then also explain like the role of that power set and what it means and give us a little bit of like, they gave us background in that we got like those clips of these other women in her line. And again, you and I talked about how a lot of those were really cool. So I'm not saying they didn't do enough there. I'm saying they didn't do enough in telling me like what the significance of this power is, like you said, what it even is, like what, like moving forward now, if we see Maya again in something, I have no idea like what she, like what power she does or doesn't have and like what she's bringing to any situation and what her motivation is.
Best guess at that, if I'm trying to calm down, would be that I think those powers are only available to her when her family or culture or heritage is threatened. And then she has a little bit of a, it's like a little bit of a super strength meets the ability to channel the love portion of it by going back through your like psyche.
Yeah, the thing.
Dude, I'm not arguing for it. I just am telling you if I had to guess what her powers are, that's... And I shouldn't have to guess, first of all, but yes.
I mean, I think what's a... Yeah, it's a bummer because...
The irony to me is, last year, they released a show that was creative and different in She-Hulk. And the finale of She-Hulk literally made fun of your own project, made fun of this problem that you then continued with Secret Invasion and Echo. Like how, like you have a project making fun of these final battles out of nowhere and the stakes. Remember, those are my stakes, Kevin. Like,
yeah.
And again, this is because I so much enjoyed Echo episode 4 and 3.
Yeah.
To where I'm like, they could have just given her no powers. Fisk loses, takes a jet back. She wraps things up with her family. And then even if the argument then is like, well, what was the show for? I would be like, well, it was a fun little look into another character. And I'm kind of curious to see how she could interact with Daredevil and Fisk in the future. But now I'm like, this could be the end of Maya and I'm okay with it now. Like maybe now she just lives in Oklahoma and she's not involved with anything else anymore. And that was the end for Fisk. And he now goes and does his own thing. Now that's where you left it. And that's where it has to happen now. Like, I don't have any desire now for Maya to show back up with glowy hands next to Thor.
Yeah. No,
how did you not learn that lesson your own show is making fun of you for?
It's again, it's so frustrating because it's like when we talk about the Hawkeye finale, which I think is, I mean, light years better than this one. We've said, look, if you removed this final confrontation with Fisk, like there would really be no concerns. Like if you just showed him kind of apart from all the action, there would be no concerns. And it's just, it's so strange because here it's even easier to imagine, like, you did, like, in Hawkeye, if you're going to do that, you would have to rework some things and figure out, like, what, like, who would play certain parts if they wanted to have the finale play out in roughly that way. But here, I actually don't think, like, if you just pulled Fisk out of the finale, even if you kept her with the glowy hands or like, whatever power set you wanted her to have, that would not have impacted that. Like, let Fisk have that final scene that we saw in the plane of episode 4 where he gets really mad. And then, like, even the post-credit scene would be a perfect follow-up to that. Because then it's like, oh, he's mad, he's upset, he's, like, hurt by Maya's rejection of him. And now he needs to, like, channel that somewhere. And he's going to kind of set his sights on the mayoral race, which is an interesting development, but after this feels kind of pathetic because it's like, okay, so he just went and he's supposed to be like the like he's this guy that you don't want to mess with. He's like the boss of all crime in New York. And now he's going to go to the small town in Oklahoma and just like leave with his tail between his legs. And then now he's going to go be the mayor and be this like big, bad, really imposing figure in Daredevil Born Again. And again, the thing is, most people that watch Daredevil Born Again will not have seen Echo, I feel, or at least not the finale. But I think the bummer is, had they not included him in this finale at all, we would have gotten two of, like we said on last episode, like some of the best episodes featuring Wilson Fisk in terms of just the scenes that we got with him that we've ever gotten. Like, I thought that he delivered some really, really great performances in those two episodes. And I feel like we learned more about the character. We like got a little bit more of a nuanced look at like what drew him to Maya, like really great stuff to your point. That's just serving that purpose of like, it's a side plot. It's a detour. We're just learning. We're kind of deepening these character relationships. And then we see him again in New York and all of those pieces fit together. I just cannot imagine why they thought we needed to see Maya beat him specifically. Like, why couldn't she just beat
his cronies,
all of Fisk's guys? Like, that's still a feat, you know? Like, that's basically what Hawkeye and Kate did prior to the Kate Fisk battle, which again, I think was like the worst part of that episode. Like, you don't have to have like to your point, I guess, like you don't have to have the fight with the big bad in every finale. And I just don't understand.
Robbie, I'm legitimately frustrated. I literally wish you were on the team. I wish they would hire you.
Hey, we need
you're putting
consulting agreement.
Very, very elegantly, you're putting words to my thoughts, which is that, yeah, you know, each finale kind of has had its own flaws. They're not all the same. But where you're right about the Secret Invasion finale is I was disappointed in, like, this. The finale put a stamp on what the show wasn't and, like, what I was expecting the show to be plot-wise as, like, a full-blown invasion. The finale, like, reaffirmed, like, this is not a full-blown invasion. There's a few people that are upset. And I think that's right. Why I was disappointed, not to mention a few execution things. But it didn't really like undermine Nick Fury's work.
Right.
Here, that's the problem, is that through four episodes, I felt like some good work was being done on Fisk as a character and Maya as a character that now is undermined. You're right. Like, it now, it's not just that the finale was a letdown. It's now that the other stuff means so much less. Like, I was thinking episode one was a 6 out of 10, then kind of like a 7 out of 10. Then we got like an 8 and a 9 out of 10. And then we got like a 2 that not only is a 2 out of 10, it actually physically drags the others down, because now you're like, what was Fisk doing there? How is he so easily defeated so many times? Why is he running like a dog with his tail between his legs? It's really frustrating. And now Daredevil Born Again has to start at a lower place in fans' minds and like work its way out of that. It's possible. Right. It's possible to kind of reestablish that he's a really intense dude. At least with the Hawkeye finale, I said this, he is beating Kate at least. And it's a bomb that goes off that kind of stops the fight. At least right. That. But here it's like he's almost a joke at how not intimidating he is. And then just to reiterate what you're saying, the solution was so easily in front of you. Just have him not right. Be there. Just if he's not there, I'm not complaining about this.
Yeah.
Like, if all the cronies die in a funny way, I'd be like, well, it's a little goofy, but whatever. That's fine. Like, it is a feat of strength. Good for Maya. Not to mention, Robbie, yeah. We haven't even talked about the other decisions of like, What, like, how have they not learned any of their lessons on this stuff? Yeah. You're going to make a street level show like Daredevil, and then you're ultimately going to knock out six of the cronies by Biscuits just going crazy with a monster truck and going like, whoa, like it literally feels like they're joking. Like who's making that call? Why is that is in their heads that they think the show has to end that way? And who is that? And who is that? Like this was bad enough as a finale, not the show. Like the show is a fine show for me now, but the finale was bad enough that I don't know how somebody didn't step in. Like Secret Invasion, I didn't feel this way, but this is like, this would have been cancelable. This is the equivalent of putting out a vocal that's like a scratch vocal on a track that you're stoked on. Like somebody had to step in and go, we have to redo this vocal or it's not coming out. Nobody stepped in and said, this show has a terrible finale. It has to be reshot or we're not doing it. That's what needed to happen.
To your point, what's so weird is that they wouldn't be hypersensitive to that at this point.
Yes, right? Like that's what I mean. That's more than anything. This is not the first time it's happened.
Right. Like if anything, I feel like you should be, if you are Marvel making TV shows right now, and you finish the series, and after the finale, you're like, yeah, that was good. That was fine. It's not enough. Like, you should know now that the narrative is so ingrained that Marvel cannot stick the landing. You need to do whatever you can to make a finale that is, like, mind-blowingly good. Like, that's what needs to happen to change that.
Why aren't they doing it?
It's so strange.
Does somebody over there not know that this is the narrative? Do they not know that nobody cares anymore?
Because of the She-Hulk commentary is so pointed in that way. I mean, and that's, by the way, that's been the conversation since WandaVision. I don't think that the WandaVision finale really deserves to be part of that conversation, but that has been going since literally the first Marvel TV project.
Okay. But so again, it's like, you're going to get me heated on that. That is still light years. It's not even the same conversation as this finale.
But that's what I'm saying though. It's been now 3 years since WandaVision came out, right? Yeah.
And Loki season two finales were both landed excellent. As good as anything TV has to offer. I think WandaVision finale was like one notch below that. But for me, it wasn't a disaster. Some people think it's a disaster. For me, it was like tier two, if those two were tier one, but
well, and the big
this
difference
then is
there
tier
being,
five in the finale.
Yeah. See, and here's the thing. Like even I remember people had issues with the Falcon Winter Soldier finale and.
And as a finale, that's way better than this as a finale.
Yeah, for sure. And again, the thing with like WandaVision has a better finale than Falcon Winter Soldier. It's also just clearly a better show, but both of those finales, whatever you think about them, and whatever complaints people have, both have very poignant, like kind of tear-inducing moments that I think, like whatever issues you have, those are at least partially combated by like some really good decisions.
Oh, yeah. Okay. If you don't like that's what I've always said. Like if you don't like that Vision battles Vision or something, or that like the CGI looks a little bit goofy on Agatha or whatever, I get that. But then you're also forgetting how much amazing work is done. The goodbye to her family, the letting of people go, her getting her powers is so cool. The way she tricks Agatha into it is so cool. The music there, like there's so much good still. I don't know what I would say from this one episode is the redeeming quality. Okay. Let me. It's so frustrating. This broke me. It took 3 years, but this broke me. Like I'm not in a good space right now. Like this podcast is the positive podcast. I'm not in a good headspace and I hate it. Like I hate it. I'm legitimately looking forward to people hearing our X-Men coverage because I'm so stoked on it.
Right.
Through two episodes. I feel bad not being the positive guy, but this finale, it kind of broke me. And I know there are people right now already pushing back. Okay, let me push back a little bit. Let me say a few things here really quickly. We just ripped it, okay? There were a few caveats that I say, like, I'm thankful they didn't do this, or like, it's so small. First of all, I think Little Maya deserves a shout out. Do you agree? We have often crushed child actors on this podcast. I think she's done a great job from the first flashback on.
Yeah, I agree.
I really enjoyed a Roxxon oil shout out. Did you catch that? That's the kind of Easter egg when she's at the gas station, it's Roxxon on the sign. Oh,
that's nice.
Kind of like that stuff.
Yeah.
I was at least thankful that her grandmother didn't like present her the new suit. Like, it's not like her grandmother spent a ton of time working on it. Her grandmother just saw it and it was still there. And I kind of liked her getting it as a vision from her mom. And I did enjoy some of the healing there. I thought there was a few moving parts there. To me, that's better than her grandmother like pulling it out of a chest and be like, I made this for you to channel all the powers. Can you at least go that far?
No, yeah, for sure. And I would also say the, like talking about the young Maya stuff, I thought that the woodpecker flashback story, like all of that was, again, I thought that was really effective. I even thought that the final scene after like how much I was just like
what happened?
Yeah. Like my jaw was dropped in a bad way after the confrontation with her and Fisk. And then it cut back to that kind of like this moment of the woodpecker flying. And I was like, that's and a the really music kind of was beautiful
awesome.
Moment.
The music was awesome.
And I was like, man, that, again, though, it just bums me out because it's like, why?
I know. I'm trying to say some of the positive things though, real quick.
No, I know. But I'm saying it bums me out because like that was like, it's there. Like there is stuff there that I think works.
And again, this is not a positive or negative, but I think now for me emotionally, I kind of just want Maya to stay with her family in Oklahoma. And like she's channeled that and it healed her. And I can live with that story, I think, then. And then I think I'll just be able to look at Fisk and be like, that was a weird chapter where he was weakened because he really felt like she was a daughter. That's the headcanon for me. That he felt like she was her daughter, and so he was really hurt by her leaving, and he was operating not as he normally would because he was extra sensitive to that. And Maya had this side story that she was raised by gangs and then she got out of it. She battled out of it. And now she lives in Oklahoma, a happy life. That I think is where I now need to leave it. Now I think it's actually going to be more detrimental to bring her back. Like if in Daredevil Born Again, she shows up in New York, I'm going to be like, we learned even less than I thought.
Yeah.
So now I think we have to just leave it there. We have to, and it has to be what it is. I thought the set at the actual fair looked cool. Like I thought that was a cool recreation of that.
Yeah.
The actual overhead shots of the cultural like drumming and like the way the car, like it all looked very real and tangible. Like they built the whole thing. And that I thought that was a huge win. The other two obvious wins obviously are Maya as an actual deaf person and amputee, what that means. I saw her on Jimmy Fallon signing, and it was really moving. Like it's powerful that there's representation for her. And I think it didn't do any kind of damage to Choctaw Native American culture. I think if anything, it's really enhanced. Like Anika and I were actually moved by the final title card that says thank you to the Choctaw people.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of stuff that that's pretty cool. Like that the whole Native American side of it was a huge win for me.
And again, that's kind of what I was trying to say earlier.
I mean, not the glowy hands, but I mean like
and that's like I was just sitting there watching it trying to figure out why I was so upset about the glowy hands. And I think it's the genre, like you were saying, it's the fact that this was kind of billed as a street level thing. But if the show were just more sure of itself in terms of what it's wanting to do, like I think that you could have taken either route, I guess. Like if you did want to go like the Namor route and kind of explain how, because we live in a superhero filled world and we know that there are like all of these different powered people from different perspectives and in different parts of the world. Like, yeah, I could buy that like if they want to sort of ground this Choctaw tradition in like the MCU where there are mutants or where there are people that have mystical powers and you want to actually really do the work to make Maya the descendant there and the recipient of those, I think that could be interesting. And we'll talk about that soon in the Wakanda Forever rewatch. But I just, that's not what they were, they didn't do enough to make that compelling. And even if they had, that is a different show than what we got, certainly for episodes 3 and 4. But really, like, it was billed as very much like Daredevil adjacent. And it's just like, that's the problem. But it's like, I think that there's something that's really exciting and cool about, okay, we're going to make a show focused on like specifically the Choctaw cultural tradition and identity. And I think to really make that like her superpower could be cool. It's just strange that she sort of already had, like they had already made her into, like that's the difference between this and Ms. Marvel, I guess, right? Like Ms. Marvel, she's just like a normal girl. And then she gets the bangle and then like however the mutant powers work. But it's like, that's your origin. She's normal. And then like, just like Peter gets bit by a spider, she encounters this bangle. And now she's dealing with like the fallout of all that.
That finale actually was pretty good as well. That finale was a win, by the way. Because remember, the clandestine stuff got ended in episode 4 or 5, and we finally got to go back to her school and be in New Jersey. That was better. Yep.
Right. That'll be another one. Right. And the difference here between Ms. Marvel and Echo is that like she was introduced in Hawkeye as kind of a fully formed like badass. Like she is like, she is someone that like, she doesn't have like a power set any more than Kingpin does. Like, and so it fits within that world the same way, by the way, like it fits in Hawkeye because neither Hawkeye nor Kate have superpowers. And that's like and a big part of that show.
I'd argue if not only not the same power set, she should have a lesser power set. At least Kingpin has like extraordinary strength because of his size. Right.
Yeah.
So it's not only the same level, it should be one step down.
Because, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't feel like we got any, like as great as the like skating rink episode was and the fighting that we got there for Maya, I feel like here we didn't really get any of that in the final showdown with her and Fisk. Like I feel like what she was doing was really just like using
trying to heal him.
Yeah. And that's my other big issue here, I guess. I do think that's a beautiful way to dig into her character and like to deal with the pain that she does have and what's been driving her. But it's like we ended last episode with both of us saying like, man, I don't even really know if I want Maya to be a quote unquote good guy, because it's kind of fun with her being one of the few characters that we have that is kind of on the fence there, and that we're seeing her being, you know, she's willing to kill people. Yeah. And
it went and it's so just, far the other way.
Right. To where now it's like, I don't even know that it would ever make sense to see her do the things that we've seen her do so far, because she's now totally committed to being like a healer. And then it's like, wait, okay. So now, like, that's like me learning like all this time with Daredevil, like that he's like a, like now he's someone that refuses to fight. Like he's a pacifist. And like, that's how he's interpreting his Christianity. And it's like, okay, but what?
That's why you're with me, right? That now, because of this, if we accept this is what happened, we can't get more of it. Now, if this is the end of Maya's character, it's a little more satisfying than if they're trying to keep her as a longstanding
thing. Oh, agreed. Agreed. I think that that's right. I think if it is the end of her character,
it's better
than I think I'm. Yeah, for sure. And I think that that's probably, I do think that's the right call. I have no idea what role she would now have. I mean, the show makes a point to have her end with her family. Right. Again, in a scene that I thought was nice.
If you didn't have the finale, there was a world where what we said could have been true. That she kind of like still kind of likes being a bad person and is hurting and decides to go back with Fisk. And then I'd be like, well, we could see her again. And she's sometimes doing some bad stuff against Daredevil, and sometimes she doesn't fight him because they're trying to kill the same people. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Like you kind of be like, well, oh.
And isn't that like, again, that's the thing that I think makes Matt's character in Daredevil so interesting that they could have done here, is Matt is always like wrestling with these two halves of himself. And they're mm-hmm. they're dealing there obviously with the kind of like devil angel idea.
Mm-hmm.
But here, I don't know. I wish that like her dad was involved in organized crime with Kingpin. Once he was gone, Kingpin basically finished raising her anyway. But then her family, she has all of these ties and she has this kind of tradition within her family of whether they're powers or not, of like healing in a certain kind of worldview. That's an interesting tension. Like keep that tension and then have her move forward and be wrestling with that constantly in the same way that Matt is wrestling with that constantly, the same way that Spider-Man sometimes wrestles with that, like, I have the power to like kill Norman Osborn right now and keep him from hurting anybody ever again. But I also feel that it's like my responsibility to not use it that way. But is it also my responsibility to use it that way to protect other people? Like, these are like the tensions that you need in characters. And so why end so definitively with her to just undo like any ambiguity unless you just want to put that character on the shelf forever? And if that is the intention, then I'm with you. Like, I think that I'm much
yes.
more okay with that.
Yep. It's still not good. It's still a 4 out of 10, but that's better than a 2 out of 10, which is, yeah, I guess now I'm thinking put my on the shelf. That was a fun tale that I learned a little bit about these things, but I don't need it again. Not, we haven't even talked about, like I said, some of the other details were also just the wrong decision. I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
Like, why did the other bad guy crony have a rocket launcher pointed at the fair? Like, was he literally just going to blow up all the other Native Americans just cause?
Yeah.
Her friend who runs the skating rink that I loved, one of my favorite parts of the show, calls Biscuits and goes like, do you have a weapon? Cause things are about to get crazy. And then he like Biscuits somehow, who's been like a scaredy cat,
right?
Impressionable. Now all of a sudden he gets like, oh, I don't have a weapon. He gets so much courage to take a monster truck directly into all the guys with guns.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. And then the guy that I liked just pulls a gun. And the only thing that is about to get crazy is he shoots one guy in the chest, and then that was crazy. That was the craziest thing, you know. So not even around the Fisk or glowy hand stuff, I have concerns of what was the plan.
Well, I
just think you legitimately need to be there helping edit this, and then you can call me and bounce ideas off. Like, I'll be like, yeah, let's not do that. But
dude,
like,
it is
this
strange,
is the first time
right?
where I feel like we would have a better grasp at it than them, which is like. I started the podcast because I was like, oh my gosh, look at how good they are and how bad I am at this. They're so good. And now I'm not saying that we've grown so much, but it's like, these are like no brainers to me. If you're a fan, there's no way that Kevin Feige put his stamp on this finale. There's no way. This had to have happened at a time where he just didn't get around to it. Or there was external pressure or something. There's no way that this was the plan.
Like, who is this for, I would say? Like these types of finales. Like, who are they thinking wants these? Especially after, like, not only the She-Hulk thing you pointed out, but the last finale we had.
Joking aside, let's legitimately try to answer that for a second. Like, if I had to get into their heads, I totally disagree with everything they're saying, but maybe the argument would be that they feel like they were building up Maya and Fisk's relationship the whole time. So the logical conclusion is it has to come to a confrontation. Otherwise, people will feel let down that they never actually confronted each other. Right? If you're in their head, isn't that what it is? Or they think, man, Daredevil has such a cult following and Fisk was a huge part of that. It'd be really fun to bring him into this show, have him raise Maya, and people are going to be disappointed if all that it is he leaves town.
Yeah, but I think...
Dude, I know what... obviously what the butt is. That's I know what I think. But which I is think like that's you're doing fair, more harm than positive.
That's a fair read. I think that it's, I mean, it is probably this idea of like she's taking on this guy that's so destructive and violent with
right,
peace love. And healing. And there's yeah. something that like I can see on paper that being really satisfying. I think the problem is it just didn't, I just didn't buy it.
Right. Like, I think maybe if it had been, I don't want this, but if it had been 3 years worth of television leading up to that point and they could have drawn right. it out that Maya has really gone through this growth, you know, and decided I'm going to be a healer and I want to try to save Fisk. Maybe that could have been, maybe I still wouldn't have done that. Like, I think, I guess some characters I just don't want saved. I guess.
And again,
like I don't really want Fisk
especially
saved.
Not at this stage when he's just been yes, reintroduced.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Where are they going to go from here then? If he does go like, oh, thank you, Maya. That really showed me my past. Now I understand where this trauma came from. Where are they going to go then?
Right.
It's yeah. a fruitless well, endeavor.
And that's what's strange to me. Like, I think that it would be one thing to show us something about Maya through the kind of conversation she has with Fisk. You know, and just showing that, like, you know, you could have almost mirrored the conversation they had in episode 3, I guess. 3, 4, 4. Where he's, like, he's clearly always kind of in control of the room. He's got this presence. Like, I think you could have done an interesting inversion there where she has such a confidence and she starts talking about, like her own, like the work she's done to kind of deal with her own trauma and then use that to talk about him in a way that he's not really comfortable with. And in that way, kind of shown that like she's no longer like his pupil. Like she's now actually in a position where she understands things on a level that he doesn't. And then you could just see maybe Fisk getting really like frustrated by that and that feeling like it would be its own like coming to a head. But I just don't like the fact that like her healing him is literally her putting her hands on him, specifically like on the eye where she yeah. shot him, which I get is just, it's like, that's where I see what they're doing thematically, but it is so clunky and not subtle. Like I don't, like if you want something to land thematically, I think you need to let us arrive there. And that's what I love about this podcast is that's, like digging into stuff the, and finding it.
Right. That's the end of Thor, Love, and Thunder. That's the right. subtle way to walk away from the fight and have him be healed. That's the right. perfect execution.
Yeah, exactly.
Of it.
Exactly. The thing for me moving forward and kind of talking about the next steps out of this, like I'm annoyed because I feel like this show, you really could almost just remove the finale. And I think it would work pretty well. Like if Maya's yeah. just driving out of town, you don't know where
think
Fisk is
that.
In the plane upset.
Yeah.
And then you it. Have the post credit scene with Fisk. And then that's like, but
like how many shows in the history of shows can you ever say that? Just literally don't show the finale to somebody and they still would walk away being like, okay, I like where this is going.
I honestly think that like if I had somebody watch Echo, I would probably say don't watch the finale because I think that this, it leads into Daredevil in a way that would actually make me excited instead of being like, okay, well, we're going to have to backtrack. And I say that because I, you know, this is a significant reveal in the post-credit scene.
Yeah.
There have been rumors going around for a couple weeks. And I'm sure because of this, that Marvel's going to be adapting the Devil's Reign story that Chip Zdarsky wrote in the Daredevil comics that just, and this is a fairly recent story. It was like a year or 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And in that story, it's like a, Zdarsky is not the one that made Fisk mayor of New York, but Fisk has been mayor of New York for a while. And that's been, had been, that was sort of the role he's in. He's now not. But there are some really interesting things that you can do with that. And I like that idea because we've already seen Fisk do the kind of rise to power within the criminal underworld thing a couple times now in the Daredevil seasons.
Yep.
I've right. thought to myself, like, I don't know yes. how they do that again without Same. Just... Same. So I think that this is an interesting wrinkle to add. Like, yeah. now he's mayor. He's got this... Like, he has, like, a formal authority. And I think, you know, you and I have talked about
how... He could start fulfilling the role a little more of Mayor Osborn from the Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Game,
I think. Exactly. Which you and I have been yes, kind of clamoring praised. For yes, years.
Correct. Yep.
So I think... I really like that. I love Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil. I love any... Like, I even think that there's an opportunity for them to maybe try to bring in the Purple Man character that David Tennant plays in Jessica Jones, which I love a lot if they went down a particular avenue there. But regardless, that is that's a good development, I think. And I'm excited about that because what I keep having to remind myself, like, we're getting Moorhead and Benson back for yeah. that show. So now we have, I think, a really interesting status quo change with Kingpin and some really great creators. We also, I think that there are either rumors or it's confirmed that Eldon Hansen and yes, Deborah Ann Woll are returning.
This week, yeah.
So a lot of great, like, Daredevil news even coming out of this. But mm-hmm. it's just, like, it's sad to me that it has to be kind of, like, lifted out and you yeah, have to, like... Dude. Brush off all of the stuff that you don't want attached to it.
I will say, again, just to reiterate, if you want to end on a slightly more positive note than that, I don't think like a year from now we'll feel as strongly that the show has to lift from this show. Just because if we don't see Echo again and we don't see Maya again, I think, like I said, a year from now when she's not around in Born Again, and Fisk is back to becoming a mayor and rising to power and having his tentacles everywhere. Right. I think we'll just be like, that was a weird chapter where, again, because he felt sensitive about his daughter, it was a different deal. But now he's back. Like, I don't think it's going to have as long lasting of ramifications as we're feeling right now. Unless they try to tie Echo into the story. Then I think it does.
Right.
But I think we'll be able to look past it. And just the reality, too, like you said, is a lot of people won't have seen Echo anyways. And so I think they won't even really have to try to change that.
Yeah.
But again, I hate as a fan that that's how I feel. Again, the Infinity Saga was not perfect, but it was one contained thing that I felt so strongly about that I'd be like, just power through Incredible Hulk
right.
because right. the reward's right. coming. Power through Thor 1 because the reward's coming. Here, there are things that now I have to go, like, you could just skip Echo and just get introduced to Fisk again and Born Again. And I just never really, I didn't feel that way because it's not as self-contained anymore. And
yeah,
this is what I hate, right? Like, I love being positive. I hate that this now broke me to where, like, I just said what I said for the last hour. I hate that now... You know, we'll probably have shorts made of this podcast. And the shorts that are going to get the most clicks are the ones of us ranting about how this finale was so broken. And that's the very thing that right. I don't want to stand for on this podcast. So if you're just finding us, this is not the normal tone. It's only because I'm now broken. I'm now broken finally this long in. But I love the MCU. And this is like, we are the most positive MCU podcast you're going to find. That is not representative of it. But like this... And the Secret Invasion finale are, I think, the only two times that, like, I would have stood on a table in a writer's room being like, we cannot do yeah. this. I would have been that passionate about it before it came out when I saw that this is where it was headed. I really think so. I really think I would have. So that's a bummer for me.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of final thoughts as we're wrapping here. A couple that are... maybe more positive, hopefully. The not as positive one that I do want to throw out just because I was aware of this even then. Like, part of my issues with this finale, just to put a bow on it, almost nothing was executed well. Like, there were people involved, creatively at every level that I know can execute well, because we saw that in other episodes of the series. But even like the acting was worse for some reason in this episode. And then the writing was so heavy-handed that, again, I like some of, like, even the Fisk development, I like that. But there were just moments where I'm like, that scene was almost comically heavy-handed, where it's like, all we needed for that was for Fisk to be sitting there and then the volume come on and them say something like, yeah, there's now someone dropped out, there's a big hole in this mayoral race, and we don't, like, no one really knows who's going to fill it. That's all. But it was like 30 seconds of the of the commentators being
really,
like,
really, I think a brawler who could stand up in battle would really be the one who would work.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you know,
and
it's
an outsider,
so late.
Also
but
an outsider.
Maybe, it's so late, but there's maybe a little bit of time for someone to still get involved. Hey, Fisk, like, are you listening? We're hinting you should
do
this.
Like, it's like if they like just rolled the cameras on those news anchor actors. And they were like, just keep talking and we'll like pull out clips of it, like whatever we decide. It's just going to be like a 5-second thing. But then they just pulled out the full like 30-second take. And those guys are just like spinning their wheels, waiting for someone to tell them that they can cut.
Why not
like,
have
just little
Fisk
things like
be
that.
Watching a different channel and start showing his like tick of him, you know, doing this with his hands and be thinking and be frustrated and slowly zoom in on him, right? And he's like, what do I do? Like that's what you get out of his face. Where do I go from here? Blah, blah, blah. And he's frustrated. And then he, like, out of anger, changes the channel. And they're talking about the mayoral race. And that's it. One time. Like, yeah, the mayoral race is heating up in New York. Wonder who it'll be this year. And then it cuts, you know, that cuts out. Blah, blah, blah.
That's like, those are the things where I'm just like, I know that there are people with those instincts. This is not like a crazy, like, we're not asking for anything like revolutionary, just asking for the same kind of subtlety that I think the MCU has always been capable of, like since the very beginning. Like,
and like you said, even this show has had some of it.
Right. With D'Onofrio especially, but that's my,
there wasn't subtlety in any, you're so right. Any of it, the way, like I said, the rocket launcher guy got taken down, the Bonnie and his grandmother and the lines there. Her grandmother.
That's
sorry.
The thing. Like even the sewing machine scene when she goes to get it, it just didn't feel like it. The chemistry wasn't there the same way it was on other episodes.
I like her grandfather a lot, though. I do.
I do too. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I never had the concerns about side actors in this series that you had voiced until this episode. And then I'm like, yeah, I do kind of have concerns, except I don't think that it's the actor's fault. I think that there just must have been something like, there had to be some kind of mess that resulted in the final version of this. But all that to say, the kind of more positive notes looking forward, one, I am really excited about Moorhead and Benson doing Daredevil.
Obviously.
That's what I like after this, especially. I'm like, okay, I think it was Charlie Cox.
You're that that X-Men meme or whatever, the guy laying in bed. I think it's Wolverine laying in bed looking at the photo of Moorhead.
Yeah,
looking at Moorhead and Benson. Please come back to me. I said like, Boarhead, by the way, just now. Perfect.
Hey, there you go. It's like, what is it?
Their celebrity couple name, Boarhead.
Yeah. I think it was D'Onofrio or maybe Cox, one of the two that like they were talking about how meaningful it is to them for Moorhead and Benson to be working on the new Daredevil series because they view that as Marvel giving them, like giving that series their best talent, like their A-list talent. And I think that that's absolutely correct based on what we've seen. So that makes me excited. The Deadpool thing, I actually think, like, the more I think about it, just as we're sitting here recording, I think that could be the perfect turning point for a lot of this.
Yeah,
because
correct.
It will inevitably, there's
it'll be
no
so irreverent.
Way.
It'll be so yes. not taking itself seriously. And then especially if the plot is actually going around and making fun of, like, the Fox properties and stuff, like, that is a perfect line of demarcation for them.
it will I think that it will do something similar to She-Hulk too, where like they will use that as an opportunity to admit their mistakes and hopefully use that as like a, okay, like from here on out, like we are recognizing what came before and the good and the bad in that. And we're now going to kind of race ahead. But I think, I don't know, there's a lot to look forward to both on the podcast and what's coming soon on the MCU front. It's just...
this day is a weird day. Like, this is just a weird chapter. That's what I was going to end with too. I was going to say, if you're listening, please listen next week. Like, stick around with this podcast. I think you're going to enjoy it. Next week is really fun for us. When we do the friendlies, it becomes a really fun thing. Robbie announces all the categories to me. And it what's cool about it is, like, even our manager Pete said today, he's like, oh, I forgot some of this stuff that had released. Like, that's what's cool about it. You start going through these categories, right? Like, oh, I forgot that there was a really cool character introduction in this project, or this one thing happened in this. Even the shows that maybe you don't like, you probably forgot some of the cool sequences, some of the cool performances. Right. And so next week is really fun. It's really fun for us to do. And then the following week, maybe even more fun, we announce the winners that our patrons voted on. So the community decides who the winners are. And then, like you said, we're going through X-Men on Friends From Work Plus, and I really want to encourage you to look into subscribing to that. That being said, there will be X-Men talk on the main feed sure. And then especially before... like, part of the reason we haven't done it a ton in the main feed is because we haven't had a direct reason to. If Deadpool now all of a sudden makes a direct reason to really get into it, the Marvels just started with that sequence, you know? If there's going to be a direct reason, then there will be more main feed X-Men talk too. But if you want to go through the whole journey, I'm legitimately stoked to talk about that on that side of things. Yeah, it's going to be really fun. And, dude, not to mention on the main feed, like, I am going into X-Men 97 totally fresh. I have no background on an animated series. Yeah. And I'm going into Deadpool totally fresh. So for me, the whole year, I think, is going to be a totally different feel than what you heard today. So stick with us. Listen to Friends From Work. I think you're going to enjoy the community here.
And, I also want to say, I'd be curious to hear other people's thoughts on Echo as a whole, on the finale. I know one thing.
Yeah, we've not been a part of the conversation because we're behind.
True, yeah. And I will say, Greg, who watched it all at once, our news correspondent, finally gave me his thoughts on the finale once I had watched it. And he was a lot more positive on it, which I appreciate, right? Because you were just saying, like, it's whenever we are not able to bring that, I like that someone on the Friends From Work team is. One point he made that I at least want to voice in case anybody else agrees. He thinks that this is one that, like, feels better when it is binged, because, like, having the time between episode 4 and 5, like we did, like, not that it's not like I was actively like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? But I do think it's just, and he made a comparison that I don't think I agree with. But I think it's an interesting one where he talks about how people's concerns with the Black Widow finale would be a lot more if, like, that were presented as, like, a week-to-week show and you had all of Black Widow that felt kind of grounded, then you had, like, the big sky battle at the end. And I do see his point. I just think that this is so, like, It's such a different degree, I guess, of, like, fall off.
That's exactly.
But I think that it's an interesting lens. And so I'm curious if other people that did watch this all at once, didn't intentionally break it up like we did, if they weren't as let down by the finale. Like, I don't know if we, like, I mean, again, the show has, like, a 73% or something on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's not like Secret Invasion where everyone's, like, just two thumbs way down. I don't know if everyone's like we are and that the first 4 episodes were pretty great. And then the last one was like, but, you know, it would have been maybe like an 85 and then it came down to 70. Or if we're way rougher on this episode than everybody else is. So if you're listening and you have strong thoughts, I'd actually be really curious to hear those. And since we are not normally, since we're not fulfilling our normal role of apologists here, I am always welcome to have somebody else step in.
Gosh, I love this community. We'll be back with the Friendlies next week, right back here on Friends from Work.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.